The WTNS Communication Lines gives you 2 hours of local news, weather, sports, and information. WTNS Radio gives you everything you need to know. We are live and we are local. And it all starts with WTNS News.
An appearance from a dignitary. I'm Jeremy Scott. After a scheduled Coshocton County appearance yesterday was canceled by Ohio First Lady Fran DeWine, she still did make an appearance in the area. DeWine, who had arranged through the Coshocton United Way to come to town to promote the Ohio Governor's Imagination Library, promoted the same thing at the Dover New Philadelphia Kiwanis. The free program provides books to kids from infancy to five, and she says there's a specific science to that.
So 80% of a child's brain is developed by the time they're 3 years old. So imagine that, you know, 80%. So that means that we can't wait until they're 4 or 5 to read to them.
The First Lady says 41% of all eligible Ohio children are registered for the program. In Tuscarawas County, about 38% of kids are registered, while that number expands to 49% in Coshocton and 50% in Muskingum. A Coshocton juvenile seems to be okay after a single car crash yesterday just after 4 p.m. in Mill Creek Township. Deputies responded to Township Road 21 about a half mile south of Township Road 221, and they found that the juvenile was traveling northbound on 21 in a 2001 Ford Escape. The vehicle went off the right side of the roadway and up an embankment, then overturned on the embankment. However, the juvenile was not hurt. From the Coshocton County Sheriff's Office, these other accidents to report yesterday. Tiffany Fisher of Monroe Township was traveling southbound on County Road 22 in Monroe when she struck a deer that ran in the path of her vehicle. A juvenile reported a hit-skip accident in the Coshocton City High School parking lot, and Jennifer Lane of Warsaw was traveling south on State Route 79 in Perry Township when she struck a deer. As far as complaints go, nothing for the morning report. Superintendent Chuck Rinkus at Riverview says the kudos earned by TikTok challenges preteens and teenagers are acting upon can be costly to a district and more.
Riverview has been dealing with this, and it has been an issue at both the high school and the junior high buildings.
Besides ramifications if students act on these challenges, monetary compensation would also be accessed.
We haven't had any issues, knock on wood. Sometimes I err on the side of sometimes when you put it out there, you then end up having problems because sometimes kids, you don't know till you know.
Matt Colvin of the Coshocton County Career Center says he's taking a different stance, which is out of sight, out of mind. At Coshocton, Dr. David Heyer says there's not been too many issues to any great degree, but administrators are stressing proactive messages such as E plus R equals O. Each month, TikTok has been offering not-so-nice challenges for students to partake in and then to video them. During September, it was vandalize a school bathroom. This month is smack a staff member. Next month is kiss your friend's girlfriend at school. Heyer says other sites are offering positive reinforcement and proactive messages for students. And if you're looking for unique homemade holiday gift ideas, you can learn to make some tasty food gifts at the Holiday Jams and Jellies class through the OSU Extension. That's taking place Thursday, November 4th from 6 to 7:30 p.m. Emily Marison, Family and Consumer Sciences Educator, says recipes will include a pomegranate jelly, carrot cake jam, and low-sugar apple pie jam. You can learn to safely create delicious spreads during the hands-on workshop. That class will be held at Clary Gardens in the Compton House. It's the Red House and will be taught by Marison. Program cost is $5 per participant. Registration forms can be found at coshocton.osu.edu. Register with payment by Monday, November 1st. You can contact OSU Extension at 622-2265 for more information. I'm Jeremy Scott, WTNS News.
It is 5 minutes after 9 o'clock, and good morning to you. It is time for the Communication Lines program, and I am Mike Bechtel here with you till 11 o'clock this morning. We have guests all morning long on the Communication Lines program, And at 10 o'clock, our guest will be Rob McMasters, director of the Coshocton County EMA, and he is the spokesperson for the Coshocton County COVID-19 Unified Command. And we will get an update with numbers and some good ones and bad ones, I am sure. So we'll review that and talk about the COVID situation here in Coshocton County. That'll be hour number two this morning. We are joined in the studio to kick off our program, as is the case this time of the year on Wednesdays, with Lynn Meiser, Executive Director of the Oneida Way of Coshocton County. Good morning, Lynn.
Good morning, Mike.
And Lynn, let's start off with the status of the campaign at this point.
It is about the same. A lot of packets, you know, are out, but they haven't come in. So we're about 8%, which is about $28,000-$29,000 that we've collected so far in pledges. We are still collecting on the pledges from last year also, trying to collect those actual dollars so that this next spring we can figure out what the allocations will be for next year. So we always give out those dollars which we know we've already collected.
All right. And at least some places, the pledge forms have gone out with paychecks, and the companies are distributing those pledge forms as we speak, but a lot of those, I'm sure, just simply haven't come back yet.
Yeah, and I think since you brought it, the champions of our campaigns are those people who make the ask in their places of business, and I cannot respect those people enough, because they have busy jobs to do anyways, and then to put the United Way campaign on top of what they normally do in their business is asking a lot, but they do it because they know it matters, and they are tasked with trying to help their fellow employees understand how their donations are spent. And I know that they're being told that it's being spent locally, which it is. Local dollars means local impact. And to that end, we're having a Impact Wednesday on October 27th, where we're encouraged to shop locally. It's so important to keep our dollars local. And these local retailers do so much to pay it forward. Not only are they employing local people, but they are just making businesses available to us to shop, so we don't have to go out of town. So I encourage everybody to shop locally all the time, but especially on Wednesday, October 27th, where 18 different retailers in town will be donating a portion of their day's sales back to the United Way.
All right. Well, very good. That is Lynn Meiser from the United Way. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be speaking with representatives from couple of those United Way agencies right after this.
Your home is the one place where everything should be perfect, including your air. Best Heating and Air helps you achieve the perfect air you deserve with reliable, groundbreaking, award-winning Lennox products. Call Best Heating and Air to hear more about how they can help you feel healthier and happier in your home. It doesn't get any more perfect than that. Call them today at 740-545-9400 or visit them online at bestheatingandac.com. License number 30482.
This is Jim Smucker, president of Kime in downtown Charm, Ohio. When you're getting ready for guests to arrive, a natural thing you might do is clean the house. At Kime, we carry the Sereno vacuum cleaner. It uses water to catch dust and dirt, which keeps dust from spreading. This is extra helpful if you have allergies. Sereno also makes an espresso machine for after your guests arrive. When you think Kime, think lumber plus so much more, including everything you need to build a house and fill it with memories. Visit us at KimeHome.com or stop by today. Share memories this season with Serena. Get yours at Kime, built on trust since 1911.
Injuries and other conditions affecting your hands can make even the simplest tasks feel impossible. That's where the fellowship-trained hand surgeons at Genesis can help. They are the only doctors in the area with the highest level of training for hand surgery. And they use that expertise, the latest technology, and the full support of Genesis Healthcare System to put possible back in your hands. Better begins here. Start your path to better at genesishcs.org.
Looking for a job? Papa John's Pizza is now hiring drivers. Apply at www.pleaseapplyonline/pjz.com.
This is Debbie Sheets, and I invite you to join me in voting for the Coshocton County Library Levy on November 2nd. Book chats, guest speakers, computer and printing access, genealogy resources, and research assistance are available to all. Adult activities are offered to inform, entertain, and expand your world. This levy is not a new tax, but rather will sustain the library's excellent services to our community. Paid for by the Coshocton County Library Levy Committee, Tim Vance, Treasurer.
Hey there, it's Kenzie again. Every time I'm on the radio, I tell you that Fisher Decorating has been here since 1946. Well, if you do the math, folks, that's 75 years. So stop in and check out our great selection of paint, floor covering, including remnants, and so much more. Maybe now would be a good time to change the name to Kenzie's Carpets. Well, I'm not holding my breath. That's Fisher Decorating Center, helping you make your house a home for 75 years.
Sunshine today, highs in the lower 70s for tonight, clear in the evening, then becoming a partly cloudy. And for tomorrow, showers with a slight chance of thunderstorms in the afternoon, highs in the upper 60s, chance of rain 90%. Cool morning, 44 degrees currently in Coshocton, but we have a gorgeous fall day ahead of us. We are spending our first hour this morning speaking with the folks from the United Way and United Way agencies. So we do have on the phone representatives of Coshocton Maternal and Child Health Center, one of the United Way agencies. We have Tammy Smith, the Director of Nursing, Alicia Verasco, the Child Health Nurse, and Denise Thompson, Prenatal Nurse, all with us. Good morning, ladies. Thank you for being with us today.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Tammy, we'll start with you, an overview of Coshocton Maternal and Child Health Center and what all you do, and it's quite a bit.
Sure, yes, it is. So the Coshocton Maternal and Child Health Center is here, and the purpose of our center is to ensure affordable care for immunizations and prenatal care in our county, regardless of the ability to pay for those services. We are located near the fairgrounds on 7th Street, so 724 South 7th Street in the County Services Building. Our phone number to call for an appointment is 740-622-2999. In our Child Health Center, we do provide care for ages birth through 18 years of age, so children up to 19. And then, of course, our prenatal care is for pregnant women in the county.
How many children, families, would you estimate that you serve over the course of a year?
On average, we serve, you know, and the years vary a little bit, especially with the pandemic, but on average, about, you know, 400 children a year we serve, and about 40 prenatal patients a year.
And how the impact, we no longer deliver babies here in Coshocton County, what kind of impact has that had on your workload or how you deliver your services?
So our prenatal services, you know, most things are done here locally. They can get blood work done at the hospital or lab of their choice. Ultrasounds can be done here at the hospital as well. Or they can choose to go to the delivering hospital where our patients deliver, which is Knox Community Hospital, for those types of testing. Other than the tests, the complete prenatal care is here local in our prenatal office.
You mentioned that you serve children up through age 19. How often do you have teenagers coming through the health center or older kids? Is there a lot of that, or is it primarily newborns and very young kids?
We have a lot of teenagers that come in, you know, 7th grade immunizations and 12th grade immunizations are much needed in our community, and so we do see a lot of those ages.
How is the Coshocton Maternal and Child Health Center funded beyond what you receive from the United Way?
Mm-hmm. We're funded through patient fees, so we do offer services to those that may not qualify for Medicaid, but also do not have private insurance. So they're based on like a sliding scale fee system, you know, based on household size and household income. So fees from that help support the agency. Medicaid claims also help support that, along with donations from private individuals, and also the churches in the community have been wonderful.
How many staff do you have in your office in total?
We have a total of two nurses, not including myself, which I'm the director, but child health nurse Alicia Verasco, prenatal nurse Denise Thompson, and then we have a front desk billing clerk, and who also does our scheduling, Tina Albertson. Then for our prenatal, we do contract with Knox Community Hospital. We have a certified nurse midwife, Amanda Poorman, who is stationed here locally, has raised her children locally. So she's just been a really, really good fit for us.
What impact has COVID had over the last year and a half, nearly 2 years now, on your ability to deliver services and the type of service that you provide?
Sure. You know, we have kept our child health and prenatal clinics operational throughout the pandemic. You know, we feel that these are just super important services. You know, we could not divert care away from those during the pandemic. Of course, we had all of the safeguards in place. You know, having patients call in from the parking lot prior to coming in. We did close our waiting room, so we would take them directly from the car into a room, just to kind of keep that transmission at bay. But yeah, we continued with services. Of course, you know, across the United States, there was a decrease in routine child immunizations. Those kind of, you know, we're lagging. I think we've seen a little bit of pickup, you know, especially now with schools being back in person. Immunizations and the well child visits are so important. So I really want to, you know, just kind of stress that importance. And if parents are listening, to please, you know, get your children, you know, back into their pediatrician for their well child appointments and get them up to date on their immunizations.
And Tammy, we've spoken about your role with the health department in contact tracing. And Alicia, I know you've been involved in that as well as contact tracing and researching COVID. Is that part of what you do at the Coshocton Maternal and Child and Health Center?
Well, we've had to, you know, definitely utilize our maternal and child health staff with contact tracing. So when there was any downtime from child health services or, you know, prenatal services, definitely, these two nurses have been fully involved in COVID vaccination clinics, contact tracing, case investigations, data collection, homebound vaccinations. We've been wearing very, multiple hats for sure.
Okay, so all in all, it stands to reason that that COVID, as has been the case with so many places, especially in the medical field, has greatly increased your workload.
Absolutely.
And Denise, if we could talk to you, are you there?
Yes.
Denise Thompson, the prenatal nurse, can you share a little bit about what your primary role is as a prenatal nurse? What do you spend most of your time doing?
So we have Amanda Poorman that comes in on Tuesdays afternoons, and so I schedule appointments, prepare charts for her, and we do we see patients at that time. And if anything, if they need testing done or ultrasounds done, then those orders are placed and sent to the hospital of patient's choice, either generally Coshocton Regional or Knox Community Hospital. And we do offer pregnancy tests here. And then if there's any social services needs too, we do connect them with services in that aspect as well.
And can you share a little bit about the impact that you feel that your role, particularly with prenatal and Coshocton Maternal and Child Health Center, the impact that it does have on families and children here in Coshocton County?
So prenatal care is very important to provide education about healthy behaviors during pregnancy, and it monitors maternal and fetal well-being throughout the pregnancy. Also, it can detect early signs of potential complications within that pregnancy, too. We do provide guidance to the women and families that come in to see us. So if there's services that we can connect them to, we do that.
And Alicia, let's bring you in, if we could. Alicia Verasco here with us. She is the child health nurse with Coshocton Maternal and Child Health Center. And Alicia, can you share a little bit about what your role is with the health center?
Yes, I'm the child health nurse. So we do a lot of immunizations, which help ensure that the child's protected from dangerous life-threatening illnesses. We also provide vision and hearing screening. We do lead screening to check the child's blood for levels of lead. Do hemoglobin checks, that will help check the iron levels. I also am a certified childbirth educator, so I do offer childbirth education classes here at the clinic. So I teach those every other month if anyone is interested in that. We go over, you know, stages of labor, relaxation techniques when they are in labor, postpartum, newborn care, things like that. So if anyone's interested in that, just give our office a call and we'll set you up with that.
And what else would you like to share with us about the impact that your work and the Maternal and Child Health Center has on children and families here in Coshocton County?
Well, I mean, the immunizations are very important to help eliminate the spread of disease in our county, but also in just the nation. I think we do a good job at doing that. And
I think, Mike, this is Tammy, if I could, just, you know, keeping both those services, you know, close to home so they don't have to travel, you know, outside of the county for those services. The Child Health Center is currently offering flu vaccine for patients 6 months and older. And then also COVID vaccines are available for children through the Child Health Center. And currently that's for ages 12, you know, and up. But we're soon to see, you know, COVID vaccine be approved here, you know, in the next few weeks for ages 5 through 11. So when that is approved as well, we will be offering to that age group.
Tammy, what specifically are the Unite Away dollars that your agency receives used for?
The United Way dollars is to, you know, help buy medical supplies. It's used to help pay for staffing costs as well. Like I said, you know, we do bill Medicaid. You know, the reimbursement is not, you know, sustainable for, you know, for a clinic, you know, because the rates are just so very low, unfortunately. But, you know, throughout the years, you know, with the help of United Way, you know, the Medicaid dollars that we receive and the donations, we've been able to, you know, to sustain the clinic and, you know, keep these services available for women and children in our community.
Tammy, while we have the opportunity, what other information would you like to share, whether it's about your relationship with the United Way or valuable information in general to the public that you'd like to share today?
Sure. So, again, you know, our Maternal and Child Health Center is located at 724 South 7th Street in the County Services Building near the fairgrounds. Our office hours are Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. We are closed for lunch from 12 to 1. So, you know, just, you know, give us a call if you have an appointment, you know, would like to have an appointment for, you know, child vaccinations, you know, your child needs a lead or hemoglobin screening, prenatal services. You know, we're accepting, you know, new patients all the time. And I want to stress that we will not turn anyone away for their inability to pay. So if you're worried that you're not able to afford immunizations for your child or you're not able to afford prenatal care for yourself, please reach out to us. We're happy to help either link you to services to, you know, to get some type of insurance, or we will see you, like I said, regardless of the ability to pay.
Thank you all for being with us today. Tammy, anything else you'd like to share before we wrap up?
Just one more thing. I just want to, express our sincere thanks to the United Way. They're one of our most significant supporters. Without their support, we would not be able to provide the level of services that we provide to our community. So we want to say thank you for their continued, support. And also to the community members who support the United Way. Their contribution is making a difference in the lives of people in our community, and we thank everyone.
Thank you for being with us today, Tammy. That is Tammy Smith, the Director of Nursing, also Alicia Verasco, the Child Health Nurse, and Denise Thompson, Prenatal Nurse with Coshocton Maternal and Child Health Center, one of the United Way agencies. And Lynn Miser, before we get to the Boy Scouts, what else would you like to touch on concerning Coshocton Maternal and Child Health Center?
I think what Tammy said was key, is that transportation, just keeping the services local, is infinitely easier for these young mamas on trying to transport those children out of town. A lot of them don't even have cars. So I'm so glad that the United Way is able to support these services to keep them here in town and make them accessible, because prenatal care and then postpartum care is really important to these moms and children. And we're glad to be a part of just maintaining good health here.
Coshocton Maternal and Child Health Center, one of the United Way agencies that your United Way dollars that help to support. We'll come back and talk to the folks from the Boy Scouts right after this.
Bex recognizes this week's player with heart, Zach Heinz from Kenton High School, for his commitment and passion on the field and within the farming community.
I just love that, like the competitiveness and the adrenaline of being out there. I guess I've always grown up playing football. It's something that I've grown into love doing.
Zach is involved in many activities outside of football, including National Honor Society, Trap Shooting Club, FFA, and Sportsmanship Committee. And he takes those same diverse skills to work with him on the farm.
Kind of find myself doing a little bit of everything. I run equipment and help fix things and do things like that.
The senior has big plans in the future, like going to college, continuing to play football, and at some point he'll be back to help work on the family farm.
It means quite a bit. I've grown up on a farm for my whole life, and I've always been around. It's just really everything that my family knows.
At Bex, we are and will remain farmers at heart.
For winning Ohio Lottery numbers 24 hours a day, call the B-Dry Lottery line at 622-CALL. That's 622-2255. Let B-Dry transform your damp basement into useful living space.
Life moves fast. Can you keep up? Cleveland Clinic Union Hospital Ortho Express Care welcomes patients with no appointment necessary, so injury or joint pain never slow you down. Our orthopedic experts will give you the care you need when you need it. For every break and breakthrough, for every bone and joint, for every care in the world. Walk in for orthopedic care close to you in the Heritage Square Plaza at Dover. Learn more at unionhospital.org/orthoexpresscare.
Are you dreaming of something greater? A college degree, job skills, a rewarding career? The Ohio Army National Guard can help you get the education you need to land the career you've always wanted. The Ohio National Guard Scholarship Program could pay 100% of your college tuition. You're eligible for the scholarship as soon as you enlist. Learn more about the many benefits that come with serving in the Ohio Army National Guard. Visit NationalGuard.com today. Sponsored by the Ohio Army National Guard, aired by the Ohio Association of Broadcasters and this station.
This is Julie from Advantage Tire and Audio. Take advantage of fall savings now at ATA. We have big savings on our tire and wheel packages for your car, truck, or side-by-side. And don't forget to ask us about a no-credit check financing option. Give us a call at 740-295-9200.
Sunshine today with highs in the lower 70s for tonight. Clear in the evening, they're becoming a partly cloudy. And for tomorrow, showers with a slight chance of thunderstorms in the afternoon. Highs in the upper 60s. Chance of rain is 90%. Currently, it is 44 degrees in Coshocton. We are back once again with Lynn Miser, the executive director of the United Way of Coshocton County. We have Evan Sifke from the Boy Scouts here in the studio with us, and on the telephone, Ann Herridge, and she is the relatively new executive director at the of the Muskingum Valley Council of the Boy Scouts. And good morning, Ann.
Good morning. Hello, all the listeners and United Way supporters. We certainly appreciate everyone.
Well, we want to talk about the United Way. We'll get to that here momentarily. But can you share a little bit about the Boy Scouts here in Coshocton County, and specifically the Muskingum Valley Council? What territory does that cover?
So sure, I'd be happy to. We cover 9.5 counties out here, and Coshocton being one of our greatest areas of support and involvement with scouts, and happy to report that we've had just last week and had a great Cub Fall Camporee, which Evan will talk about. And we just have a lot of great volunteers and kids and families engaged. And we also had a lot of kids that were out here recently with the Coshocton County Fair, and all of our units that are based there out of Coshocton do participate in that fair and have booths and displays promoting the activities and service projects and all the things that they do in scouting annually. So that was pretty cool to see all the kids and units out there participating with the community.
And Coshocton County, is it about, I don't know, the same activity, Boy Scout activities as other parts of the region, the Muskingum Valley, or is more so or less so here?
So I'm going to let Evan speak to the number of units that he has in Coshocton County and the numbers of kids that are involved, but I would say that everyone within the council TAP territory, you know, and scouting in general, that we all participate in an annual program that incorporates camps and activities, trainings, community service projects, lots of things that way. But they certainly do each community, if you will, within the different counties that we support, those 9.5 counties. We'll have certain unique activities or events that might be particular to their area and things that they're involved in to help further showcase scouting and encourage others to join. So, Evan, could you give a little information in regards to the numbers of kids and units there in Coshocton?
Okay, Evan, go right ahead.
Okay, so there is a unique advantage that Coshocton County has compared to the other areas, because I know that's one question you had for Ann. The advantage being, our council's camp, Muskingum Valley Scout Reservation, is in Coshocton County, in Conesville, which is just outside Coshocton. And like Ann said, we just had our Cub Scout Fall Camp out, which had about close to 500 people. It was a very successful weekend. We had all kinds of program, and me being there myself, I saw a lot of kids that had done things they've never done before. I saw from a range of kids working on cars and learning how to change a light bulb in a car to just building a fire or even just taking a nature hike. And that was fun to watch. But in Coshocton County in particular, we have about 11 to 12 different packs and troops along with adventure crew. And right now we are closing up our membership campaign, so we're hoping to get even more kids in the program, and I think that right now we're looking pretty good under the circumstances.
And under the circumstances, meaning COVID?
Yes.
Okay. How has COVID impacted the Boy Scouts here in the last year and a half plus?
I think it has really affected a lot of the almost advancement and training aspect, because kids just don't get to, it's harder to learn, I think, and I think that would, anybody who, any teacher would probably say this, a similar thing. It's hard to do things virtually compared to in person. A lot of, like, you can't teach fire building really remotely.
Mm-hmm.
And that outdoor experience. Now we had a little bit of an advantage because of our camp and how large it is. We were still able to hold events and social distance. We were one of only three camps in Ohio, in the state of Ohio, to actually operate last year.
And you know, with 500 kids, scouts coming out, that implies that there are people that come from all over to this camp here in Coshocton County.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, our camp, our summer camp program, which operates between June and August, I believe we were actually beating the numbers this past year. We beat 2017, so pre-COVID. And a lot of that is out of our area, actually, some from Columbus. We actually even had one from Virginia, I believe, come all the way from Virginia to Coshocton just for the Muskingum Valley Scout Reservation and that great program.
And so the Boy Scout camp, as we colloquially call it around here, is Certainly a crowning jewel here in Coshocton County. I know it's been on the Fall Foliage Tour in the past, but still probably a lot of people listening right now that have never been out there. Can you give us an overview, share with us what all you'll find at that Boy Scout camp?
So at our camp is about the active portion of our camp is about 500 acres. We have a NRA certified shooting range. We have a pool. We have multiple areas for woodworking. We have an environmental science area. We have a anything that you could think of to do in the outdoors. We have a nice, beautiful lake where we do all kinds of fishing and other things. We had more fish this past weekend than we knew what to do with. Anything outdoor, we can pretty much provide it.
Well, you think about the Scouts, we do think about outdoors. We think about helping old ladies across the street. But what are the core values of the Boy Scouts? What are the principles that the Boy Scouts teach?
So I'll just give you one of our, we have our Scout Law and Scout Oath. One of those is, as we like to say, Scout is trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, and clean, reverent. We like to teach that and instill that in everyone. And using those 12 things is also applies to our Scout Oath. And I think that we do a pretty good job of teaching kids. I mean, I've been here for about a year now, and I've seen growth from a kid who was a first grader. I saw him again this year, and he was in second grade, but I didn't have to help him with his archery. I didn't have to hold the bow for him while he was shooting. He knew how to do it himself. Mm-hmm. He knew how to help his dad when they were cooking something over a fire, and he knew not to mess around with run around when there's a fire close anymore. So that development, just at the younger age is very clear.
Just a few examples, and they have Boy Scouts with a long history. There have been recent changes and at least terminology in some of the policies of the Boy Scouts. Is it still called officially Boy Scouts? What's the official name of the organization now?
The organization is still the Boy Scouts of America. The only name change that we actually have was we had our Cub Scout program, which is the younger group until 10 or 11 years old. And then the 11 to 18 years, or 2 years ago, I believe now, was previously just the Boy Scout program, which now is Scouts BSA. So that, because we also do include girls now, and we're very happy that they're allowed to participate now.
And with, I believe there were some programs that girls, some girls were involved in even before that policy change. But how much of an increase have you seen? How many girls have gotten involved with the Scouts?
So locally, we have two different. So let me. I will explain the dynamic, which is the girls are separate at the older age. So you have a girl troop and a boy troop within the Scouts BSA program. They're separate because for obvious reasons. We have two girl troops here in our area, and they're doing. I mean, they're advancing almost faster than the boys because they seem to be more determined. We had two girls reach Eagle this past June. They were the first in our area. I was really glad to be part of that. They're doing more than we ever thought. I mean, we had the venturing program, and that's been going on for decades. And those girls have been following their brothers and doing what their brothers does. The only difference now is they actually get to earn what their brothers earn.
And what does it mean to become an Eagle Scout? What does a Scout need to do to achieve that distinction?
So the Eagle Scout is one of the highest things it is the highest award that a youth can receive, obviously. And there's no comparison, in my opinion. I think that the leadership that you have to demonstrate in order to achieve that, and part of that Eagle Scout project, when you do an Eagle Scout project, you're leading a team of, it could be 5, it could be 30. Most recently, we had an Eagle Scout who built a batting cage, and that was a $35,000 project. We've done, I mean, the long-term effects or advantages that you get from that are priceless. Even the United States and the Army, I believe you get a bump in your rank, and I think you even receive some financial bonuses for being an Eagle Scout because you have that wilderness survival training.
Evan, you've already given a few examples, but can you maybe give one or two more illustrate the impact that the Boy Scouts has on the lives of these young men and women and ultimately our community?
So I think that with as the things that we teach them long-term, we're showing them things that they don't even understand what they're learning yet. I think because of our program and the way it's set up, we're teaching youth in a way that they're not even, it's not like school. It's not something that they have to do. They're doing it because they think it's fun. So they're not thinking about the learning aspect of it, but it's ingrained in there because then they associate that to a specific memory. And so in 10 years, you're going to remember everything you learned. And like you said, it could be opening doors for grandma, grandpa, whoever. It could be teaching. It could be helping on the side of the road somebody with a flat tire. It could be somebody falls and hurts themselves and they have a neck injury, and a scout who has first aid probably knows he can create a brace with whatever's around him to help stabilize that person.
Can you share a little bit about the volunteers and the adults and the people, the staff that support the Boy Scouts that help make it happen?
So we have a great staff. We have a great volunteer base. I've been here for about a little over a year and a half, and I could not be more thankful. We have such a great volunteer base, especially here in Coshocton County, and the amount of help that we have from not only our volunteer base, but from the United Way as well, is just unbelievable. Our staff, whether that's a summer camp paid staff or just the volunteers that run our programs year round. I mean, the latest example, our Cub Scout Fall Camp, we had over 150 volunteers or parents there, and people, and probably I would say 50 of those helped out in some capacity run that operation. So it's unlimited.
So a lot of people making it happen as well. And Evan, can you talk a little bit about the United Way dollars, what they are specifically used for, or how they help out the Boy Scouts here in Coshocton County?
So the United Way dollars, which we are so thankful for, have helped us in more ways than I can count, from sanitation purposes as of recently for COVID, sanitation purposes at camp, helping us get program supplies for our any kind of camping operation, helping us purchase, whether that's uniforms or providing assistance in any way, shape, or form. We couldn't operate the way we do. We wouldn't have the program we have without the United Way, because they've just been so helpful to us, especially here in Coshocton County.
That is Evan Sifke from the Boy Scouts. We also, again, have on the phone Ann Herridge, Executive Director of the Muskingum Valley Council of the Boy Scouts. And Ann, Evan did an outstanding job of giving us an overview of the Boy Scouts here in Coshocton County. What would you like to add?
I just want to say thank you so much for allowing us this time to share with your listeners some of the great things happening in scouting. As Evan showcased, I would say to you, the thing that I'm most proud about in regards to scouting is it's building friendships, and it's teaching children how to be engaged in their community and to work together. The teamwork and self-reliance, the importance of civic duty and community service, and being prepared. What does it mean to be prepared? The Scouts are teaching that. I think oftentimes people think, oh, Scouts are just out here building fires at camp, and it's so much more than that. You know, people are, our leaders are teaching these youth how to give speeches, how to get up and make a sales presentation, how to not only build a fire, but also how do you manage that fire responsibly. There's a lot of literacy that happens in our programs through the handbooks and the rank advancements that the youth have to perform and show aptitude before they can earn that rank advancement. And so I'm just really proud of the leaders that we have. I'd also say that the dollars that the United Way provides to us helps us enable that, you know, we do have youth protection trainings and we have leader trainings, and we're able to send our adult leaders to great certification schools for national accredited camps, so that we do have the best, safe, fun place for kids to, you know, really put the rubber on the road where scouting happens, and that's the fun at camp. And really that's the hook, right? If we can get the kids and families to camp and they have fun, and then while they're doing that, they're honing those skills, those leadership skills for life, not only in the outdoors, but within their communities, about doing a good turn. And we just want to say thank you, United Way, again, for doing a good turn for Scouts and always being a major supporter of ours in all ways, not only just with funds, but also helping with programs and engaging us in opportunities to work with fellow folks and community families and whatnot in Coshocton. And so we're very grateful for that, and we wouldn't be able to continue to serve the way we are serving kids today. And it's our hope that every family would have a chance to participate in scouting at some level.
That is Ann Herridge. She is the executive director of the Muskingum Valley Council of the Boy Scouts. And Ann, anything else before we wrap up today?
Just want to say thank you so much to those of you that give your time, and we can always use volunteers at United Way and in Boy Scouts. And so, you know, join the fun. Don't be sitting at home wondering what to do. Please get out and volunteer in your communities and make a difference.
Ann, thank you for being with us today. Evan, anything else that you would like to add, if somebody would like to become a volunteer or learn more about the Boy Scouts, for example?
If you are looking to join or volunteer, please look at our website, or if you're just looking to sign up, it would be beascout.org. That's a website for anyone who would like to join. If you have any kids who are interested, please visit us, or you can call our office. You can find that online as well. But we just thank you for having us, and thank you to the United Way.
That is Evan Sifke, also Ann Herridge from the Boy Scouts, one of the United Way agencies that your United Way dollars help to support. It is 9:47. We'll be back here in just a moment.
All across the nation, we are here for our communities.
We're doing our part to get supplies where it's needed in order to fight COVID-19 together.
It feels good to be out there to assist our community.
I would like our friends and family to know that your National Guardsmen are always ready and always there.
Visit NationalGuard.com to find out more. Sponsored by the Ohio Army National Guard. Aired by the Ohio Association of Broadcasters and this station.
This is Coshocton County Commissioner Rick Conkle. We need to stop the revolving door of our justice system in Coshocton County. Too many inmates are punished, leave the jail, and come back to jail. A new justice center would allow us to harshly punish offenders while also providing them with the tools necessary to get back on the right side of the law through education, treatment, and religious services. By doing this, we will be making the streets of our county safer for all of us to travel. Please vote yes for the Coshocton County Justice Center sales tax levy, paid for by Coshocton County Justice Center Committee Todd Brown Treasurer.
Hi, this is Mark Lacey with Old Town Realty. If you are thinking of selling your property, just give Belinda and I a call. We specialize in country property, whether it's a house on a small lot, a mini farm, or vacant acreage of any size, we are the experts to call for country property sales. My cell phone is the very best way to reach us, 740-502-3074. Again, 740-502-3074. And remember, if you think land, Mark Lacey's your man.
Coshocton Regional Medical Center has been proudly recognized as a 2021 Top 100 Hospital in the Nation by Fortune and IBM Watson Health. This distinction demonstrates our ongoing commitment to patient-centered care right here in Coshocton. With over 6,000 hospitals in the nation, we are proud of our employees and staff whose hard work and dedication to our patients made us a top 100 hospital. Coshocton Regional Medical Center, where care matters most.
Get the local weather forecast by calling Jeff Drennan Ford Weather Service at 622-0194. Ford is America's best-selling brand, and we've got the selection, the financing, and the service at Jeff Drennan Ford, South 2nd Street in Coshocton.
The weather is brought to you by Stewart Interiors, your interior design center. For craftsmanship and quality in your next interior design project, choose Stewart Interiors. See Stewart Interiors at their new location, 520 Main Street in Coshocton, right in front of Sprint Print.
Sunshine today with high temperatures in the lower 70s. Don't let this one go to waste, folks. For tonight, to clear in the evening, then becoming partly cloudy. And for tomorrow, showers with a slight chance of thunderstorms in the afternoon, highs in the upper 60s. Chance of rain is 90%. Currently, it is 44 degrees in Coshocton. Now, we are back once again with Lynn Meiser, Executive Director of the United Way of Coshocton County. And, well, so far, so good with the fall weather, Lynn. By and large, we've had some pretty nice fall days so far.
Absolutely, and it makes me think of when I had the chance to visit that Boy Scout camp, and as a parent of two children, obviously parents just want to keep their children safe, and nowadays it seems more difficult than ever. But when you and I were kids, we would hop on our bikes and go, and our parents didn't really know where we were. And when we were out, we had to develop skills to teach us resourcefulness and leadership and figuring things out, because we didn't have a cell phone to call mom and dad to figure things out. And this camp, when I was out there, it was a protected large area. I think Evan said it was 500 acres. But these boys and girls are given some freedom within a protected environment where they can learn these same skills that you and I learned kind of organically. And we have to protect that. We have to encourage that. And we have to grow kids' leadership skills, their coping skills, their resourcefulness, just any skill that they can go into adulthood so that they can be self-sustaining, stand on their own two feet, provide for their families, and then eventually give back to their communities. So I love the program. The United Way has been a partner with the Boy Scouts since we began back in 1940, and we're proud to do that.
Okay, so the Boy Scouts and also the Coshocton Maternal and Child Health Center. Got to grab my nose because that's a mouthful. But the two examples of the United Way agency, and if you take them all as a whole, you look at them, you see just what a diverse number of wonderful things that the United Way dollars do for our community.
Yeah, the three pillars are health, education, and financial stability. So the programs we support with donations all are within those three areas, and they really just are a holistic approach to healthy living.
Anything else in the campaign or events that are coming up that you want to share with us before we wrap up today, Lynn?
Maybe just a reminder for shoppers that on Wednesday, October 27th, we've got a list on our website of 18 local retailers who are giving back a portion of their day sales. Please continue to shop local to keep these businesses open. We want them to stay here, and they can only do that if we continue to shop and frequent their businesses.
That is Lynn Meiser, Executive Director of the United Way of Coshocton County. Lynn, thanks for being here. We'll see you next week.
Thank you, Mike.
It is 9:53, and I'll be back here in just a moment.
This is Jim Smucker, president of Kime in downtown Charm, Ohio. When you're getting ready for guests to arrive, a natural thing you might do is clean the house. At Kime, we carry the Serena vacuum cleaner. It uses water to catch dust and dirt, which keeps dust from spreading. This is extra helpful if you have allergies. Serena also makes an espresso machine for after your guests arrive. When you think Kime, think lumber plus so much more, including everything you need to build a house and fill it with memories. Visit us at KimeHome.com or stop by today. Share memories this season with Serena. Get yours at Kime. Built on trust since 1911.
This Lost and Found Pet Information is brought to you by the Pleasant Valley Veterinary Clinic. A male red and white heeler hound mix was found near the intersection of 8th Street and Orange Streets in Coshocton. This dog's been taken to the animal shelter. Also taken to the animal shelter is a female white pit bull with blue eyes wearing a black and gold speckled harness. And she was found on County Road 495, also taken to the animal shelter. Their phone number at the shelter is 740-622-9741. This lost and found pet information was brought to you by the Pleasant Valley Veterinary Clinic. And big games, in fact, the biggest game of the year for all three of our county schools this Friday night. Two undefeateds will go at it. Garraway is at Ridgewood, and you know West Lafayette's going to be rocking Friday night as they host the Pirates. Ridgewood 9-0, Garraway 9-0, a pair of evenly matched teams on paper. And you can hear that game right here on FM 99.3. Airtime Friday night is 6:30, kickoff is 7 o'clock. And then over on 102.7 FM, you will hear Coshocton at Riverview. And airtime is 6:30, kickoff is 7 o'clock, a Coshocton County rivalry there. And, you know, the coaches don't have to say anything extra to motivate the teams for either of those games. So you can listen on FM 99.3, 102.7, online at mywtnsradio.com, or you can watch them live on the WTNS Facebook and YouTube pages. Airtime Friday night, 6:30, kickoff is 7 o'clock. High school football is brought to you locally in part by Liddy Scrapyard, Extreme Rental Purchase, Park National Bank, Jacobs Vanneman Agency, Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, and Kyle Libby, State Farm.
Otsego Carryout in Coshocton is the only stop for whatever you need. Check out their deli, meat and cheese, a freshly made grab-and-go sandwich, and a large selection of Walnut Creek favorites. Otsego Carryout has these new items: Yoder's Monster and Molasses Cookies, Walnut Creek Dinner Rolls, Pumpkin, Lemon, Chocolate, and Carrot Cake Rolls sold by the cake or piece, Habanero Cheese, Rocky Road Fudge, Pasta Salad, Potato Salad, and the Original Chicken Salad is back. Stop by Otsego Carryout today. If they don't have it, you don't need it.
Hello, everyone. It's John Kozik, founder and president of TurboTrack Realty, and I buy houses as is, fast for cash. Call me today for an all-cash offer on any of your properties, and we can close within days at 614-470-2000, 614-470-2000. Do you own a property that's outdated and needs thousands of dollars in repairs? Great, I'll buy it. I'm a private real estate investor who can solve your real estate problems fast for cash. Do you want to sell and just be done with it? Okay, great. I buy vacant properties, boarded up houses, pre-foreclosures, and inherited properties. I also buy apartment buildings, rental portfolios, divorce homes. I even buy my tenant won't pay me the rent houses. I look forward to solving your real estate problems today. Call me today for an all-cash offer at 614-470-2000, 614-470-2000.
Hello, this is Blake. Do you like to save money? Would you like to know where the best deal in town is? Do you rent a house or apartment? Are you being treated fair? Call 622-9791, Coshocton's rental information hotline. You will find a great deal and save lots of money every month. Call 622-9791, and I guarantee you will be treated fair. I will rent you a 2-, 3-, or 4-bedroom house or apartment for less money than anybody in Coshocton. Repairs? Glad you asked. We have 3 full-time experienced repairmen ready to fix you up. I will prove it that nobody will rent you a better house for less money than me. My name is Blake, and you have my word. Also, I will pay you $100 for your moving expense when you rent from me. Call 622-9791. Now, isn't that fair?
The leaves are starting to fall, and you feel the cool breeze, and you are reminded that it's football season again. Show your support for the Buckeyes at G.A. Fisher Diamond Jewelers with our exclusive Black O. Choose from a large selection of sparkling styles in pendants, earrings, bracelets, and watches. We have the largest selection of Buckeye jewelry you'll find anywhere. Show your Buckeye colors with your very own Black O, exclusively at G.A. Fisher Diamond Jewelers in historic Roscoe Village. Wouldn't you rather say it came from G.A. Fisher?
Do you have what it takes to solve a mystery? Adults are invited to the Coshocton Public Library for Horror in the Stacks, a murder mystery night in the library, on Saturday, October 30th at 6:30 p.m. Program participants will be given a character to portray for the evening, and treats will be won as clues are solved. Registration is required and can be completed at www.coshoctonlibrary.org.
The Coshocton Public Library System. Explore a world of possibilities.
Weather forecast calls for sunshine today with high temperatures in the lower 70s for tonight. Clear in the evening, then becoming partly cloudy. And for tomorrow, showers with a slight chance of thunderstorms in the afternoon. Highs in the upper 60s. Chance of rain is 90%. Mainly clear tomorrow night with showers likely in the evening, then mostly cloudy after midnight. Lows in the upper 40s. Chance of rain is 70%. For Friday, cloudy with highs in the upper 50s. Friday night, mostly cloudy. Lows in the lower 40s. Saturday, partly cloudy with highs in the upper 50s. Saturday night, mainly clear. Lows in the upper 30s. And Sunday, partly cloudy with a slight chance of showers in the afternoon. Highs around 60. Chance of rain is 50%. It is currently 44 degrees. In Coshocton, this is WTNS-FM. Coshocton, Ohio, it is 10 o'clock.
This is AP News. I'm Rita Foley. The White House is rolling out plans for the vaccination of millions of children as young as 5 against COVID. It expects the Pfizer shot to be authorized for children that young within weeks. White House COVID Response Coordinator Jeff Zients says they are ready to distribute millions of children's vaccine doses the first week they're approved.
If authorized, Pfizer's vaccine for kids ages 5 through 11 will make an additional 28 million Americans eligible for vaccination. This will move us further along on our path out of this pandemic.
The White House says kids as young as 5 would be able to get a COVID shot at their pediatrician's office or a pharmacy, for example. New York City will now require city workers to be vaccinated against COVID or they'll have to go on unpaid leave. The AP's Julie Walker is in New York.
The mandate affecting the nation's largest police department and more than 100,000 other city workers carries a November 1st deadline for getting the first vaccine dose. Guards at Rikers Island will be subject to the mandate December 1st. Of the workers affected, 71% have already received at least one dose, according to the city. Mayor de Blasio says workers who get their first shot by October 29th at a city-run vaccine site will get $500. He'd been weighing the mandate after instituting one for public school teachers. This also sets up a potential showdown with unions who said they'd oppose a vaccine mandate. I'm Julie Walker.
The House votes tomorrow on whether to hold longtime Trump ally Steve Bannon in contempt. A House committee investigating the January 6th Capitol insurrection says he is in contempt for defying a subpoena. A teenager in Hollywood, Florida, says he was trying to kill himself when he shot and killed a police officer who was struggling with him, according to his arrest warrant. This is AP News. Federal health officials are rethinking their approach to controlling salmonella in poultry plants.
The USDA says while levels of salmonella contamination found in poultry plants in recent years has been reduced, that has not translated into a significant reduction in the estimated 1.3 million salmonella illnesses reported each year. So the agency wants to set up pilot projects that focus more on the strains of salmonella that cause the most illnesses. They're also looking at steps farmers can take to reduce the bacteria before chickens and turkeys are slaughtered, like using more vaccinations, adding probiotics to feed, and doing more to ensure that birds' bedding, food, and water remain clean. I'm Shelley Antler.
Queen Elizabeth has turned down an honor from a British magazine, Oldie of the Year. The palace says she believes you're as old as you feel, so she doesn't think she meets the criteria for the Oldie Award. I'm Rita Foley, AP News.
It is 3 minutes after 10 o'clock, 44 degrees in Coshocton, time for hour number two of the Communication Lines program. And we are going to talk about COVID this hour. We do have with us, as is the case every other week, with Rob McMasters, the director of the Coshocton County EMA, and he is also the spokesperson for the Coshocton County COVID-19 Unified Command. In just a few moments, we will be joined by Stephanie Kahn, and she is the CEO of Coshocton Regional Medical Center, and we'll get our local hospital's perspective on COVID, how it is affecting our community, how it's affecting the hospital and staff and the current status. Good morning, Rob.
Good morning, Mike, and good morning to all the listeners.
Well, It's been a couple of weeks, and 2 weeks ago we talked about Coshocton County being number one in the state, or the top state in COVID. I want to make sure I get my terminology right. It was COVID spread, or what was the phrase?
Transmission rate.
Transmission rate. How do we stand now?
Actually, we held number one for 2 weeks. Last week, Guernsey County actually surpassed us. And now these numbers they're updated every Thursday. So tomorrow, it could change again to another county or what it may be. But looking at those numbers right now, Guernsey County actually has the highest case rate per 100,000. They're at 1,124.1. And then we are at 1,071.0. So if there's not much of a separation there. Then Guernsey or Musqueam County actually comes in third at 1,050.9. There's not a whole lot of separation in the top five. Once we get to number six, which is Wyandotte County, they're at 881.9. That's where the biggest separation is. So, it's all dependent upon what each county's caseload looks like on where they're going to fall into this chart each week.
So for a few weeks now, Coshocton County and surrounding counties, Muskingum, Guernsey, Perry, was up there for a while. There's a cluster of adjacent counties in our region that were high among transmission rates. My question is, has there been clusters like that elsewhere in the state before we had the spike here in our particular region?
Yeah, and it's kind of, and we saw this earlier on in the pandemic, where we were seeing more of these higher caseloads in the urban counties than we were the rural counties. And looking at this map, it's kind of still playing out that way when we have some of the counties in southeastern Ohio, are in the top 10, where some of the ones in central Ohio, northeast Ohio, and southwest Ohio are in the bottom 20. So we're kind of seeing that it kind of shifts back and forth as we've gone through this. These are like big tidal waves. We're going up and down.
And I guess it is important to toss in there when we talk about the transmission rates that that is percentage based. It's based on the per capita rather than sheer numbers. And I say that because of some of the large population differences between the counties and the state.
No, you're absolutely right. And that's based on cases per 100,000 residents over 2 weeks. So when we're looking at Franklin County has a population of 1.3 million, where Coshocton County has a population of 36,600. So that's based on cases per 100,000. Now, and something else to keep in mind here is the statewide average is 507.4, and we're at 1,071.0. So we're more than double what the state's average is. So we have to take that into account as well. We're double what the state's average is. And many counties are. We don't get below the state's average until number 66, which is Union County.
Okay. All right. So let's get to the numbers, the numbers that we share every couple of weeks here, and then we'll take a closer look at them.
Okay. As of 9 o'clock this morning, these numbers are literally changing. At any moment, the workload that our health departments are facing on processing this data is astronomical. The amount of workload that they're actually processing. So, as of 9 o'clock this morning, we've had 3,793 confirmed cases, 978 probable cases, for a total of 4,771. And looking at these, so 2 weeks ago when I was on, this is an increase of 494 since 2 weeks ago. It's an increase of 236 since just a week ago. Our recovered number is currently at 4,550, 83 deaths, 185 active isolated cases, and 16 Coshocton County residents are hospitalized either at Coshocton Regional Medical Center or other hospitals in Ohio.
Okay, so those are the latest numbers, and we will take a closer look here in just a few minutes. When we'll take a break, and we come back, we'll be joined by Stephanie Kahn. She is the CEO of Coshocton Regional Medical Center, and we'll get a perspective from the hospital and the medical community right after these words.
Historic Downtown Millersburg presents Boo and the Berg on Saturday, October 30th from 6 to 9 p.m. Enjoy wine tasting and live music featuring Borderline. Tickets are on sale at eventbrite.com, where you can search for Boo and the Berg. That's Saturday, October 30th from 6 to 9 p.m. in Downtown Millersburg. See you there. At Sperry and Rice, what we make makes a difference. Sperry and Rice is an advanced rubber engineering and manufacturing company, and what we make helps kids get to school safely, keeps people warm in the winter, and allows firefighters to do their job and farmers to put food on our tables. When you work with us, you make a difference. Sperry and Rice is hiring. Visit sperryrice.com/careers to learn more and apply.
For winning Ohio lottery numbers 24 hours a day, call the Be Dry Lottery line at 622-CALL. That's 622-2255. Let Be Dry transform your damp basement into useful living space.
This is Julie from Advantage Tire and Audio. Take advantage of fall savings now at ATA. We have big savings on our tire and wheel packages for your car, truck, or side-by-side. And don't forget to ask us about a no-credit check financing option. Give us a call at 740-295-9200.
Sunshine today with high temperatures in the lower 70s, clear this evening, then becoming a partly cloudy, and for tomorrow, showers with a slight chance of thunderstorms in the afternoon, highs in the upper 60s, chance of rain is 90%. And currently in Coshocton, let's get an updated temperature here, 51 degrees, starting to warm up in Coshocton, beautiful day ahead of us. Rob McMasters from Coshocton County EMA and the COVID-19 Unified Command with us. Also, we are joined by Stephanie Kahn, and she is the CEO of Coshocton Regional Medical Center. Good morning, Stephanie. Thank you for being with us today.
Good morning, Mike. Thanks for having me today.
I'd like to just start off with your assessment and characterization of the current COVID-19 situation here in Coshocton County from the hospital's perspective.
Sure, certainly. So, this whole, COVID pandemic over the last over year and a half now has been a very interesting roller coaster ride, to say the least. And if everyone recalls, it was about this time last year that we started seeing an uptick in our local COVID numbers, and which would have been, known as wave two of the COVID pandemic. And we all experienced higher positivity rates in our hospitals, as well as, just in general community throughout Ohio, as well as the United States. And what's been interesting about this most recent wave, which we're kind of living through right now, is it's every bit as voluminous, or we've had as many positive cases and hospital cases this time around as we did a year ago. But there's been some very, interesting, societal changes, in terms of, worker availability and, a healthcare staffing crisis that has affected this country since last year. And that has really played into, all hospitals' ability to, take care of our ill population. So it's been a roller coaster ride. The good news is, it does appear that this wave, we're on the backside of this wave, where we're seeing less positivity rates. We still have very high census right now in the hospital, still have a very high COVID census. It's particularly for us, keeping in mind that we're a very small facility, and we're still feeling the effects of this wave, but I think we're starting to even out, and we're seeing less COVID positive patients come in on a daily basis.
Did you reach a point where there were no rooms available, or where that was a critical issue?
So what is impacting hospitals. There are two different types of quote-unquote bed situations that we monitor. And this is not just for, you know, Coshocton Regional. This is for all hospitals. We have what's called a licensed bed number, which is what, according to the state, we have physical space for. So Coshocton Regional Medical Center, for example, is licensed for 56 hospital beds. That is our maximum physical capacity according to the state. But all hospitals also monitor what's called a staffed bed situation, and that can change on a daily basis because it's dependent on how many people you have to take care of sick people. And so in our case, our average daily census in a non-COVID situation is somewhere around 20 patients per day. And so as hospitals, we have to staff according to what our average is. And what has been challenging this time around is we have been exceeding that staffed capacity for the last few weeks. So we're seeing, you know, upwards of 25 to 30 patients staying in the hospital per day versus our average of 20. And again, that's not just a Coshocton situation. That's all Ohio and really multiple states right now are experiencing this, where our staff numbers are filled up, so to speak.
So I'm understanding then that staffing is more of an issue than actual physical space or number of rooms.
Yeah, and that's been the case for everyone during this pandemic. There is a national worker crisis. I think that we can all agree that it's hitting every industry. We see help wanted signs all over the business community, whether it's manufacturing or it's food service or it's the airline industry. We're experiencing the same challenge in healthcare, and there are lots of theories as to why that is. We won't go into those, but it's certainly a national problem where we are all competing for the same resources where staffing's concerned. So, you know, all the way from Ohio State to us and, you know, some of the largest hospitals in the country, everyone's struggling with hiring enough staff members to meet the current demand.
How profound of an issue is it at Coshocton Regional Medical Center? How short-staffed you are, if that's a fair word to use, maybe in terms of how your staffing numbers compare today with a year ago, or maybe in terms of how many that you have on staff compared to how many you'd like to have?
Well, that's a difficult number to, you know, kind of quantify right off the top of my head. I can tell you that I know I have anywhere from 15 to 20 open just registered nurse or licensed practical nurse positions open that we're trying to recruit for right now. But that it's not just nurses. We're looking for all professions and all positions from entry level through our professional side. I want to make it clear that we're okay right now. We're able to certainly take care of our community. And it's certainly a huge kudos to our caregivers here at the hospital for, picking up some extra shifts, some overtime. Everyone's tired, as I'm sure that, you know, you can imagine, kind of seeing this unusual volume for us is starting to wear everyone out. But I would You know, I listen to a call every single day where every hospital in our zone, and if you remember, we're in zone two of the Ohio emergency management system, and every hospital is reporting, you know, the same reality at their facilities where, you know, they're right up against their staff capacity, you know, and, you know, trying to just meet the demand as best as they can on a daily basis. But we are doing our very best to, you know, to take care of the community as safely as we can and as efficiently as we can through this.
Using nurses as an example, that's and you've already illustrated that there's a lot of other things that go on at the hospital, and you need staffing for a lot of positions. But using nurses as an example, are they typically working 10 more hours a week than usual, 20? How could you characterize that, if at all?
It just depends on the person and what, you know, what each individual chooses to do. You know, certainly there are some, you know, individuals and that are, you know, interested in picking up more than, you know, one extra shift a week. We have asked our staff to pick up at least one extra shift in a week to help us just through this crisis. It's temporary. And as I mentioned earlier, we, you know, we are on the downhill slide of this current wave. So our hope is that this will only continue through a couple more weeks where we have to ask staff to pick up a little bit extra more time than what they typically would. And while we continue our recruitment efforts to, you know, to get enough, you know, folks in here that, that we wouldn't have to ask people to pick up extra hours. But, it can be anywhere from 8, you know, to, you know, 16 hours extra a week, depending on, the person and what they're willing to do.
You mentioned everyone's tired. Can you elaborate a little bit more about morale and how the crew, the staff, is feeling in general? And certainly, what you just mentioned about the numbers changing can give a glimmer of hope. But how is the staff feeling through all this?
Yeah, you know, I think everyone's just you know, everyone's just tired. You know, and I think that there are a lot of reasons for that besides just COVID. I think that we can all agree as just as members of our society right now, we're all emotionally fatigued by, you know, the turmoil in our country and the duress between, you know, individuals and the different, you know, situations we're all facing. So when you combine that with just the physical you know, and mental strain that COVID has on healthcare workers in general, we're you know, they're exhausted, they're tired, and it's, again, it's not just here. I'm hearing this from many colleagues. You know, the healthcare community is a small community, and so, you know, we all talk and we all know, you know, kind of have a pulse on what's going on in the industry. And, you know, I'm hearing this from many of my colleagues at other facilities and other healthcare sectors besides, you know, hospitals such as like nursing homes and, you know, EMS and some of those other healthcare agencies. And everyone's, you know, saying the same thing. It's just, it's a difficult place to be right now. Part of it is because of just how long this has gone on. You know, I mean, we're in well into year two of this. And, you know, with this current wave, it's certainly been every bit as bad as the previous wave, if not worse. And I would say it's been worse just because of this national staffing crisis we have. But everyone's tired. And I think another you know, factor that is making this wave more exhausting than the previous is that most of the patients that we're seeing in the hospital, not all, but most, are not vaccinated. So we have had this vaccination tool in our toolkit for several months now. And the fact that there's so much concern and almost a distrust of that tool is very frustrating for us as healthcare workers, because a lot of these cases could have been prevented. Particularly these severe hospital cases. I think we all know at this point that the vaccine is not preventing people from getting COVID, but it is by and large preventing people from getting really, really sick from COVID, where you're going to need to see us. And so I think that's another factor that is making this particular wave more challenging and harder for healthcare workers. But I think at the end of the day, we're absolutely still 100% committed to our community and to being here for everyone in their time of need of a healthcare crisis, whether it's COVID or anything else. And as of right now, it's just we're very saddened by the amount of folks that have needed to get that extra care because of COVID. It's a hard illness to take care of, because in some cases there's just there's just not a lot we can do in some of those progressive cases, and it can be very hard to watch your community suffer through this.
There has been much research in the medical community throughout the pandemic. Have there been techniques that have been brought to Coshocton Regional Hospital, or medicines or other things that have been learned over the course of the last year and a half that do help mitigate the symptoms or increase a patient's chance of survival from COVID?
Yes, absolutely. We are in process of offering monoclonal antibody therapy, which for folks who are high risk of becoming severely ill, we like to get those infused on folks within the first 3 to 7 days of infection, because that has been shown to prevent severe illness. So we do offer that therapy, and are identifying patients who are eligible for that as soon as we get a positive test result. So that's one of the breakthrough therapies that have become available through this pandemic. But then on the hospital side, there is a very prescribed protocol that all hospitals follow for treatment of COVID-19. And for the most part, it works pretty well. We don't like to get to that point. Obviously, we'd like to keep people out of the hospital with this as much as possible, which is why we're promoting the monoclonal antibodies.
Our guest is Stephanie Kahn. She is the CEO of a Coshocton Regional Medical Center, our local hospital here in Coshocton. And Stephanie, what about the protocols that are in place for visitors to the hospital? And is it the same? Is the status of the patient a factor?
It certainly is, Mike. Our current visitor policy, and we do recognize that it's been fluid because of the COVID situation, but our current policy is one visitor, one designated visitor per patient per hospital stay. So once that visitor comes once, that's the only visitor that you can have throughout the remainder of the stay, unless you're a COVID patient. And if you're COVID positive, we're asking for no visitors. And that's really to mitigate, further spread of the illness, as well as, keeping our PPE supplies in good standing for our staff who are taking care of the ill folks. Certainly a person's, status will, we will look at things on a case-by-case basis, for instance, and end-of-life needs, that will work with families on visitation in those cases, or if there's a family member who maybe has some mental status challenges, we can work with family members on that as well. But We really look at those on a case-by-case basis. As a general rule, it's one visitor per patient per stay, unless you're COVID positive.
What about the emergency room? What COVID protocols are in place there when somebody is brought to the hospital or somebody comes in? For example, is there a procedure in place? Somebody breaks their leg, comes to the hospital to test for COVID?
We're not testing everyone who comes to the emergency room for COVID. So, for instance, in the broken leg example, unless you have symptoms of COVID, we're not going to automatically test you. If you're exhibiting some signs and symptoms of COVID, we'll typically test you for sure. If someone's coming in with an altered mental status change, we might test for COVID in those cases. But it's truly folks who are exhibiting signs and symptoms; those are the ones we're generally testing. Of course, with everything, there are exceptions depending on whatever the patient's clinical status is, but. We're not automatically testing everybody, if that's the question.
That was the question then. So as far as back to COVID, has the increase of number of COVID patients and the policies that are in place, do you feel that compromises the hospital or particularly the emergency room's ability to treat patients?
I think we are seeing an increased volume, obviously, that's coming through our emergency room than what we have been seeing over the last year and a half. And physically speaking, we have a very small emergency room. There's just not a lot of physical space there. So we have been running into extended wait times for folks coming into the emergency room. And we apologize for that. We recognize that is not the standard that we like to have, certainly, or that we have had. And we've worked very hard to, to not have any kind of wait in our emergency room for anyone, seeking treatment there. But certainly this influx that we're seeing from COVID on top of our just normal stuff. And we got to remember that COVID's not the only thing we see. And this is our typical normal busy season anyways, in the hospital world. This is the time of year where we start seeing flu and we start seeing, some chronic illnesses, becoming worse when you start having weather changes like this. We still see heart attacks and we still see strokes. So all of those normal things are coming in at the same time that we're having this increased COVID rate, which is what is making this wave so difficult for on all hospital operations. Our emergency room is certainly not as quick and as efficient as it typically would be. And there are lots of reasons for that, from just a process standpoint and a throughput standpoint. And I can assure you that our staff are working as quickly and as efficiently as they possibly can. And what's can be frustrating for folks who, look to be treated in the emergency room is sometimes you will see patients go back, and be served before perhaps you, if you have been waiting longer. But on an emergency side of business, we really have to look at a patient's clinical status to determine who's going to be seen next. So obviously, if we have someone come in that's showing signs and symptoms of a heart attack, they're going to be taken care of first because, that's something that we have to look at very, very quickly versus someone who may be coming in for, a poison ivy rash, for example, that still absolutely needs to be treated, but is not as critical as the heart attack. So we ask is that our community just be a little bit patient with us. We do think that this is going to get better here in the next few weeks, and we'll start seeing our normal operations come into play. But I also want to stress that we're not the only facility that's experiencing this. Other facilities around us are experiencing extended wait times as well.
Sure. And along those lines, our emergency room, everywhere, is there the possibility, is there a change in people that come in for other issues other than COVID, just because of the specter of COVID looming?
There's no change in as far as, you know, whether or not we're going to treat you or how we're going to treat you.
Are there fewer people that are coming in because of because COVID's out there?
I see what you're saying.
Okay.
Yeah, and yes, and that has been the case since COVID started a year and a half ago. We have definitely seen a decrease in our emergency volume overall since COVID started. So yeah, and so what we're also seeing for people who are non-COVID is that people are waiting too long to come to the hospital. Mm-hmm. I think part of that's because, you know, folks are afraid of coming to the hospital because of COVID. So we do want to stress not to wait. It's not good to wait to be seen for your regular, you know, illnesses that you might have. And certainly if you have chest pain or experiencing signs of a stroke, we certainly don't want you to wait in those instances.
We have heard stories about people putting off regular tests, mammograms, cancer tests, colonoscopies, preventative tests and procedures. Do those stories bear out here in Coshocton?
I can't say that for sure without looking at specific, you know,
okay,
samples, but I would, you know, my gut tells me that we are probably putting things off. I will say that we're starting to see some of our outpatient volume return over the last couple months. It's still not back to where we were pre-COVID. But yeah, I do think people are still putting things off, and those are important things we don't want to put off, because, you know, the longer we put those illnesses off, the harder it's going to be for us to treat them later.
What is the vaccination policy for the staff at the hospital? What is suggested? What is required?
I mean, certainly we want our staff to be vaccinated. It's the best way to protect ourselves and others from COVID-19. We are currently not requiring the vaccine. That said, we all know that we saw Washington put in a requirement for healthcare workers and other employers with certain levels of employees. So we're waiting to see what comes of that, you know, out of Washington and some additional details to see how that's going to affect our staff. In the meantime, we don't require it.
Early on in the pandemic, we did speak with a couple of hospital employees, or at least somebody that's in the medical community here in Coshocton County. This was before the vaccine, but they contracted COVID. Has there been a higher instance among employees at the hospital before or after the vaccine of COVID?
You know, I would say this time around, I knock on wood, feel like we've had less employees get sick from COVID with this wave than what we did the first time around before there was a vaccine in place. So I would definitely say the vaccine has provided some level of protection to our employees.
And Stephanie, I want to thank you for spending so much time with us this morning. I know it's tough on the medical community, the hospital, and the staff, and that everybody is working hard to not only fight COVID, but take care of our community for other inevitable things that come up. And anything else that you would like to share with our listeners before we wrap up today?
No, I just want to, you know, have a huge shout out to our caregivers here at the facility. They really are the backbone of the healthcare community here, and have tirelessly worked throughout this pandemic and certainly this most recent wave. And just a big shout out to them for, you know, hanging in there and hanging tough with us for a little while, and certainly to our Coshocton community who has provided us some generous support over the last year and a half.
And the good news, as you pointed out, it's starting to look like we're on the tail end of this latest wave, and that's good news for everyone. We hope that continues to bear out, and thank you for spending time with us today.
Thank you, Mike. Appreciate the time.
Stephanie Kahn, the CEO of the Coshocton Regional Medical Center. We'll be back right after this.
Get the local weather forecast by calling the Jeff Drennan Ford Weather Service at 622-0194. No one will sell you a new Ford for less than Jeff Drennan Ford. Come down and see our great selection at Jeff Drennan Ford, South 2nd Street in Coshocton.
And we're back with the second round.
What is the only proven winner against both sudden death syndrome and soybean cyst nematodes?
Oh, I know this one.
Go right ahead.
We use this one on our farm. The answer is Ilevo seed treatment.
That is correct.
Woo!
And we'll be right back after this commercial break with our final question. Will the right answer still be Ilevo seed treatment? Take a wild guess. BASF, we create chemistry. Always read and follow label directions.
Are you looking for a fulfilling career with great benefits? At Kraft Heinz Coshocton, you can be part of making some of America's favorite, most iconic brands. They're hosting open interviews on October 24th from 5 to 7 at their factory location at 1660 South 2nd Street in Coshocton. That's 1660 South 2nd Street in Coshocton. Stop by, grab a box of Kraft mac and cheese, and offers will be made on the spot. They're currently offering pay starting at $16.14 per hour. If you're ready to make the bacon and bring it home, too, stop by and see them on October 24th from 5 to 7 p.m.
Hello, everyone. It's John Kozik, founder and president of TurboTrack Realty, and I buy houses as is, fast for cash. Call me today for an all-cash offer on any of your properties, and we can close within days at 614-470-2000. 614-470-2000. Do you own a property that's outdated and needs thousands of dollars in repairs? Great, I'll buy it. I'm a private real estate investor who can solve your real estate problems fast for cash. Do you want to sell and just be done with it? Okay, great. I buy vacant properties, boarded up houses, pre-foreclosures, and inherited properties. I also buy apartment buildings, rental portfolios, divorce homes. I even buy my tenant won't pay me the rent houses. I look forward to solving your real estate problems today. Call me today for an all-cash offer at 614-470-2000. 614-470-2000.
Hello?
Hi, Chris. This is Jody Meek with Century 21. I heard that you have some real estate needs. I can sell your home and find a new one for you. Have you heard that Century 21 will make a donation to a charity when the transaction closes? Chris, the client decides where the money will be donated. Let's get started. I look forward to making your real estate dreams come true.
To make your real estate dreams come true, call Jody Meek with Century 21 at 740-502-8890.
Sunshine today with high temperatures in the lower 70s for tonight, clear in the evening, then becoming partly cloudy. And tomorrow, showers with a slight chance of thunderstorms in the afternoon. Highs in the upper 60s. Chance of rain is 90%. Now, right now, it is 53 degrees in Coshocton and climbing. Gorgeous fall day ahead of us. And we are back once again with Rob McMasters, a director of the Coshocton County EMA and spokesperson for the COVID-19 Unified Command here in Coshocton County. And, Rob, well, first of all, anything that you would like to piggyback on from our visit with Stephanie and the hospital's perspective?
Yeah, and Stephanie had mentioned, you know, the call that, you know, that occurs daily on with the hospitals on giving their situation report. And I listen to those calls. I don't listen to them every day. But I can tell you, listening to those calls, you know, over the last several weeks has been really concerning. And one thing I really key in on that call, because, you know, I know that, you know, Coshocton Regional Medical Center, as Stephanie said, it's a very small facility. So, you know, when somebody needs, you know, more extensive care, many times they're transported to other hospitals. A lot of times those are in Columbus and in Franklin County. And when those reports are given and they say that there's either, like, no ICU beds available in Franklin County, or I know just the other day there were 7 ICU beds available in Franklin County, that's concerning. Now, I don't know how many total ICU beds there are in Franklin County, but I'm sure that the number is pretty large given the number of hospitals that are in Franklin County. So when there's only, like, 7 or 10 beds, ICU beds available, you know, that really... For me, that really puts it in perspective where our hospitals are at, you know, each day as this goes. And that number can change by the day. So, you know, for me, like I said, that really kind of puts it in perspective on the workload on our hospitals, and I want to thank Stephanie for taking the time out to provide that information to the listeners, because I know Stephanie's schedule. You know, she is very busy, and you know, she mentioned, you know, this has been a very, very tiring year and a half, a little over a year and a half for all in healthcare. And I too want to thank all of the employees at Coshocton Regional Medical Center for everything they've done, the care that they've provided for our citizens. There's many counties that don't have hospitals within their county, and you know, we are very fortunate to have a hospital here in Coshocton County, and very fortunate to have those folks that are taking their time to care for our citizens.
What else would you like to? Oh, one thing I wanted to ask you about, and if you don't have any information, that's fine. A lot more talk recently about boosters and the prospect of booster shots. Do you have any information on availability? Boosters or clinics or boosters here in Coshocton County?
I don't have any information on that, I'm not aware of any established clinics just for boosters. Any of that information, those directives will actually go through either Coshocton County Health or Coshocton City Health from the High Department of Health on how that pans out. So right now, I do not have any of that information.
What else would you like to share with our listeners today about COVID, Rob?
Looking at the data, it shows we are on that downhill slide, or on the downside of this wave. And I want you to, we need to keep that in mind.
I would interject that we've said that two or three times before.
That's the point I'm getting to.
Okay.
These are waves. If we're on that downhill side of this wave. So, what do waves do? They go up and they go down. So, we can't. And I've said this, I don't know how many times, we can't let our guard down. We've got to be ready, because we could very well be going right to the top of that wave again. So we've got to continue to do the simple things that I know I've repeated many, 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 many times, and I'm going to do it again. If you are in a public area, a public building, a store or whatever, and you can't social distance, and you're amongst people that are not within your known circle of family, you need to wear a mask. Same applies if you're outdoors in a crowded event and you can't social distance, you need to wear a mask. Wash your hands. If you haven't already, get the vaccine. It has shown that the numbers, the data shows, the science shows that the vaccine is the best thing we can do, coupled with the masking and social distancing. These are the steps we need to take to get through this, so we don't have to say we're at the bottom of another wave.
Rob, anything else you'd like to share with us about COVID or the weather or anything else today?
The weather is Ohio weather right now. Looking at the temperatures this late into October, it's like, huh, I wonder why that's happening. It's very nice out. So take advantage of the nice days when you can. Get ready for what's going to come. The snow is going to come. And there are some predictions that we're going to have a pretty snowy winter. We'll see how that plays out.
Today is one of those days where you need to drop what you're doing and make sure that you enjoy it. We aren't going to have too many more like this.
No, we're not. And the interesting thing about these days, I've always laughed at it, and this is an Ohio thing. These are the days where you're using your heater in the morning and your air conditioner in the afternoon. But you're absolutely right. Take advantage of it if you can. Take advantage of it, especially if you have outdoor stuff that needs to be taken care of before the snow does start flying. You take advantage of it. Next time I'm going to be on won't be until after the first. It'll be after the first. It'll be actually November 3rd will be the next time I'm on. So Halloween will have come and went. Trick or treating will be happening. I just want to urge everybody to be safe in trick or treating, and not just in the COVID aspect. Just be safe, making sure that the kiddos aren't going to be out trick or treating, that they can be seen, that kids aren't darting between cars to cross streets. You use crosswalks. Parents, stay with your kids at all times, just to be safe. And if you're out driving and there's trick or treat going on, keep in mind that there's kids in costumes running around. So keep that in mind if you're out driving around. And I can't urge enough, just of everybody, to stay safe. Accidents we've seen an increase in accidents lately. There have been a few just today alone. So we've got to be safe in all aspects of our life, because any slight error in judgment can have a major impact not only on your life but somebody else's. And I just want to urge everybody to be safe and be healthy. And that's all I have, Mike.
Rob, thank you for being with us today. That is Rob McMasters, director of the Coshocton County EMA and spokesperson for the COVID-19 Unified Command. We'll be back here in just a moment.
Everybody loves a discount, and Grange Insurance offers dozens of them. Good student discounts, defensive driver discounts, home ownership discounts, multi-vehicle discounts, life insurance multi-policy.
Let the Jacobs Vanman Agency, the Grange independent agent, walk you through all the Grange discounts you may be eligible for. The Jacobs Vanman Agency can help you save a lot of money while you enjoy the worry-free experience of coverage with Grange. Call the Jacobs Vanman Agency at 622-1796.
Products not available in all states.
Building skills and changing lives is what the Coshocton County Career Center does every day. Hello, this is Chuck Ellis at Pearl Valley Cheese. I'm inviting you to join me in supporting the Coshocton County Career Center's 1 mil operating levy. With your support and passage of this levy, we will have the ability to maintain and expand our programs, giving current and future students the opportunity to develop necessary skills to join the local workforce. With your support, each student's dream of learning a lifelong skill will become a reality.
This ad is paid for by the Coshocton County Career Center Levy Committee. Pam Grace, Treasurer.
For winning Ohio lottery numbers 24 hours a day, call the B-Dry Lottery Line at 622-CALL. That's 622-2255. Let B-Dry transform your damp basement into useful living space.
Did you know the Eiffel Tower is undergoing a $60 million renovation? That's quite an upgrade. At Dean's Jewelry, you can upgrade your diamond for much less than 60 mil. All October, double your diamond, and we'll give you 110% of what you paid us for your original diamond when you trade up. That's right. Get an extra 10% on your trade when you double up. Plus, get free consultations and pay no design fees on your restyle. October's upgrade month at Dean's Jewelry, Coshocton and Mount Vernon.
Looking for a job? Papa John's Pizza is now hiring drivers. Apply at www.pleaseapplyonline/pjz.com.
Supporting local businesses and local businesses supporting local programs. On Wednesday, October 27th, 18 local businesses will be donating a portion of their day's sales to the United Way of Coshocton. Kiefer's Florist, Carol's Men's Shop, Coffee Connection, Papa John's, Irwin's Family Eye Care, G.A. Fisher Diamond Jewelers, Sprout Garden Center, Dean's Jewelry, Mercantile on Main, Liddy's Scrapyard, Witt's Custard, Our Ace Hardware, Nail City, Fisher Decorating, Wilson's Carpet and Furniture, Sprint Print, Legacy Lanes, and Bexley Ann's Boutique are all paying it forward on Wednesday, October 27th. So when you shop these local businesses, you help them give back to Coshocton County. To see the full list and the way they are helping, go to www.coshoctonunitedway.org. Keeping it local, always.
Do you know of someone in need of a lift chair, or do you need one yourself? Wilson Carpet and Furniture has a large assortment of lift chairs by Best Home Furnishings, including one called the Body Rest that lets you lay back extra far for sleeping. And we have luxury power recliners and lift chairs made by Ultra Comfort with the Eclipse feature that cradles your body for extra comfort. You can find the style that suits you and recline and lift with comfort and durability. Wilson Carpet and Furniture, 230 Main Street, Coshocton.
Do you have what it takes to solve a mystery? Adults are invited to the Coshocton Public Library for Horror in the Stacks, a murder mystery night in the library, on Saturday, October 30th at 6:30 p.m. Program participants will be given a character to portray for the evening, and treats will be won as clues are solved. Registration is required and can be completed at www.coshoctonlibrary.org.
The Coshocton Public Library System. Explore a world of possibilities.
Hey, sis. Missed you this morning. Kim told me you weren't feeling well, so I'm just doing a self-care check.
Ah, thank you, friend.
How you doing?
Girl, listen, my energy was so low because I didn't eat breakfast when I got up, so I had to miss virtual yoga with y'all.
Trust me, I understand.
But I'm doing much better now that I've eaten, so I'm back on track.
Great. In that case, let's get some steps in tonight. I'll come over and we can walk around the lake.
Sounds good. Appreciate you being in my business, too. Now, let me get in yours. Did you check your blood pressure today?
I did that and my squats. Okay.
Okay.
High blood pressure is not going to be my friend if I can help it. See you at 6?
Let's get it. See you then.
Now more than ever, it's important that we protect our hearts and the hearts of those we love. Check in on one another and be a part of a healthy blood pressure movement. Rally Your Squad to take the online pledge at releasethepressure.org. Brought to you by the Release the Pressure Coalition and the Ad Council.
Okay, forest animals, today is a new day. Kids are coming to the forest, and it's up to us to make their visit a good one. Sparrow.
Yes?
Have you practiced the most popular bird songs for the year?
Of course.
Catchy. I like it. Okay, river.
Dude.
How's the temperature?
It's a refreshing 52 degrees, man. Perfect for a little riverside shoeless relaxation.
Ah, good. Owl, you here?
Course.
Who's asking? I am. Look, you know the drill. Sleep during the day, scare the kids at night.
Perfect. I love my job.
Oak tree?
Sup?
Still in the same place I left you last year. That's what I like, consistency.
Well, it's not like I'm going anywhere for the next couple hundred years.
I know. I love it. Turtle. Turtle.
He's not here yet, man.
He's late every morning. You'd think he would have learned by now to leave the night before our meetings. Okay. Squirrel. Has anybody seen Mr. Squirrel?
The forest has been preparing just for you. Visit a forest near you today. To learn more about cool things to do in the forest, visit discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
It is 10:54, and well, let's take a quick look at this date in history. This is Wednesday, October the 20th. It's the 293rd day of 2021. There are 72 days left in the year. Today's highlight in history: on October the 20th, 1947, the House Un-American Activities Committee opened hearings into alleged communist influence and infiltration in the U.S. motion picture industry. On this date in 1714, the coronation of Britain's King George I took place in Westminster Abbey. On this date in 1803, the U.S. Senate ratified the Louisiana Purchase. In 1936, Helen Keller's teacher, Ann Sullivan Macy, died in Forest Hills, New York at age 70. In 1967, a jury in Meridian, Mississippi, convicted seven men of violating the civil rights of slain civil rights workers James Cheney, Andrew Goodman, and Michael Schwerner. The seven received prison terms ranging from 3 to 10 years. On this date in 1968, former First Lady Jacqueline Kennedy married Greek shipping magnate Aristotle Onassis. In 1973, the so-called Saturday Night Massacre, Special Watergate Prosecutor Archibald Cox was dismissed, and Attorney General Elliot L. Richardson and Deputy Attorney General William B. Ruckelhaus resigned. In 1976, 78 people were killed when the Norwegian tanker Frosta rammed the commuter ferry George Prince on the Mississippi River near New Orleans. In 1977, three members of the rock group Lynyrd Skynyrd, including lead singer Ronnie Van Zant, were killed, along with three others, in the crash of a chartered plane near Macomb, Mississippi. In 1987, 10 people were killed when an Air Force jet crashed into a Ramada Inn hotel near Indianapolis International Airport after the pilot, who was trying to make an emergency landing, ejected safely. In 1990, three members of the rap group Two Live Crew were acquitted by a jury in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, of violating obscenity laws with an adults-only concert in nearby Hollywood the previous June. In 1994, actor Burt Lancaster died in Los Angeles at age 80. 5 years ago, President Barack Obama defended his health care program, long a target of Republicans and recently criticized by some Democrats, saying millions of Americans now know the financial security of health insurance because of the Affordable Care Act. 1 year ago, 2 weeks before Election Day, President Donald Trump called on Attorney General William Barr to immediately launch an investigation into unverified claims about Democrat Joe Biden and his son Hunter, effectively demanding that the Justice Department abandon its historic resistance to getting involved in elections. More than 75,000 people in Wisconsin cast ballots on the first day of early in-person voting in the presidential battleground state. More than 1 million Wisconsin voters had already returned ballots by mail.
Hello, everyone. It's John Kozik, founder and president of TurboTrack Realty, and I buy houses as is, fast for cash. Call me today for an all-cash offer on any of your properties, and we can close within days at 614-470-2000, 614-470-2000. Do you own a property that's outdated and needs thousands of dollars in repairs? Great, I'll buy it. I'm a private real estate investor who can solve your real estate problems fast for cash. Do you want to sell and just be done with it? Okay, great. I buy vacant properties, boarded up houses, pre-foreclosures, and inherited properties. I also buy apartment buildings, rental portfolios, divorce homes. I even buy my tenant won't pay me the rent houses. I look forward to solving your real estate problems today. Call me today for an all-cash offer at 614-470-2000, 614-470-2000.
Well, that will wrap up our Communication Lines program, and we'd like to thank our guests for joining us, Lynn Miser from the United Way, and Heritage, and Evan Sifke from the Boy Scouts, Tammy Smith, Alicia Verosco, and Denise Thompson from Coshocton Maternal and Child Health Center, both United Way agencies. And thanks to Rob McMasters for being with us today, and, of course, Stephanie Kahn, the CEO of Coshocton Regional Medical Center, for giving us a hospital perspective on COVID and how it has affected our community. Let's take a look at our weather forecast. Sunshine today, highs in the lower 70s. For tonight, clear in the evening, then becoming partly cloudy. And for tomorrow, showers with a slight chance of thunderstorms in the afternoon, highs in the upper 60s. Chance of rain is 90%. Currently in Coshocton, it is 58 degrees. This is WTNS-FM, Coshocton, Ohio. It is 11 o'clock. Here's the news from the AP.
Listen to the WTNS Communication Lines Monday through Friday from 9 until 11 a.m. on WTNS-FM 99.3 or online at mywtnsradio.com.